Canto 9, Chapter 16, Lord Parashuram destroys the ruling class, texts 25 through 28. We can chant 25. Jamadagnyo pi Bhagavan Ramakamala lochana Agan minyan tere rajan Vartayishyati vai brihat Jamadagnyo pi Bhagavan Ramakamala lochana Agan minyan tere rajan Vartayishyati vai brihat Jamadagnyo pi Bhagavan Ramakamala lochana Agan minyan tere rajan Vartayishyati vai brihat Jamadagnyo pi Bhagavan Ramakamala lochana Agaminyam tare rajana Vartayishyati vai brihat Jamadagnyopi bhagavan Ramakamala lochana Agaminyam tare rajana Vartayishyati vai brihat Jamadagnyopi bhagavan Ramakamala lochana Agaminyam tare rajana Vartayishyati vai brihat Jamadagnyopi bhagavan Ramakamala lochana Agaminyan tare rajan Vartayishyati vai brihat Ladies Jamadagnyopi bhagavan Ramakamala lochana Agaminyan tare rajan Vartayishyati vai brihat Translation, my dear King Parikshit, in the next Manvantar, the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, Lord Parashuram, the son of Jamadagni, will be a propounder of Vedic knowledge. In other words, he will be one of the seven sages. 26. Lord Parashuram still lives as an intelligent Brahmana in the mountainous country known as Mahendra. Completely satisfied, having given up all the weapons of a Kshatriya, he has always worshipped, adored, and offered prayers for his exalted character and activities by such celestial beings as the Siddhas, Charanas, and Gandharvas. 27. In this way, the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord and the Supreme Controller, descended as an incarnation in the Bhrigu dynasty and released the universe from the burden of undesirable kings by killing them many times. 28. Vishvamitra, the son of Maharaj Gadhi, was as powerful as the flames of fire. From the position of a Kshatriya, he achieved the position of a powerful Brahmana by undergoing penances and austerities. Purport. Now, having narrated the history of Lord Parashuram, Shukadeva Goswami begins the history of Vishvamitra. From the history of Parashuram, we can understand that although Parashuram belonged to the Brahminical group, he circumstantially had to work as a Kshatriya. Later, after finishing his work as a Kshatriya, he again became a Brahmana and returned to Mahendra Parvat. Similarly, we can see that although Vishvamitra was born in a Kshatriya family, by austerities and penances he achieved the position of a Brahmana. These histories confirm the statements in Shastra that a Brahmana may become a Kshatriya may become a Brahmana or Vaishya, and a Vaishya may become a Brahmana by achieving the required qualities. One's status does not depend upon birth. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35 by Narada, Yasya yalakshanam proktam pungso varna bhivanjikam yadanyatra api drishyeta tattenaiva vinirdishet. If one shows the symptoms of being a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. To know who is a Brahmana and who is a Kshatriya, one must consider a man's quality and work. If all the unqualified Shudras become so-called Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, social order will be impossible to maintain. Thus there will be discrepancies. Human society will turn into a society of animals, and the situation all over the world will be hellish. Oma Gyanati Virandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Lord Parashuram is still living. You have the eyes, you can see him. He's living in Mahendra in South India. Mahendra Parvat, near a city called Tirunelveli. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India, he went there, had darshan of Lord Parashuram and offered him his prayers. So that's her segue into Lord Chaitanya's Leela and his way to Acharya. Of course, Lord Chaitanya descended because of the prayers of Advaita Acharya. First, I want to speak something about his identity. We just heard read a couple of verses explaining his name, Advaita. This word, of course, Advaita, we're Dvaitavadis. So Advaita is usually the Mayavadis. They're interested in Advaita, non-dualism. But in this case, it's fitting because Advaita means he's not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Panchatattva, there are three. Panchatattva means five tattvas, five personalities. So the first three, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and Advaita, they're all Vishnu tattva. So Advaita means that he's Vishnu tattva. He's not different or identical to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's called Acharya because he's a preacher. So it's a suitable name. Now in the Panchatattva, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. The Panchatattva, of course, is, as I said, means five tattvas or five truths, five categories of truth. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he lists the very first verse, six tattvas, or six principles of truth. So he has there the Panchatattva and also Guru Tattva. Then as he unfolds that first volume of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, then he explains each of these. So there's a whole chapter on Advaitacharya also. So these tattvas, what does it mean, Panchatattva, five tattvas or categories of truth. So each one of these personalities represents an aspect of transcendence, spiritual truth. Getting back to the Mayavadis, they think it's all one. But we know that there are, even in the spiritual world, it's not all one. Actually, there are different categories. Just as in this world, there's so much variety. So in the spiritual world, there's also so much variety. So in that variety, there's individuality. Each person is an individual soul, as Krishna told Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But there are major categories also. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he represents Isha Tattva. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasa Britya, we learn from Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's only one, ultimately there's only one Ishvara, that's Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. And everything else expands from him. So he's the one Isha, when you get right down to it, one supreme absolute truth, the source of everything. So that's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That same person, Krishna himself, appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's Isha Tattva. Lord Nityananda, he represents the Prakash Tattva. Prakash means all the expansions of Krishna. We know first there's Krishna, then there's Balaram. And then from Balaram, everything else expands. So Nityananda is Balaram himself. So that's Prakash Tattva, or you can say the expansion, the category of the expansion. So you have Krishna, you have his expansions. So Krishna is Chaitanya, his expansions, and Nityananda. Then Advaita represents Avatar Tattva. So these are, of course, very similar, expansions of the Lord and avatars or incarnations of the Lord. But Advaita Acharya represents the Avatar Tattva. In this verse, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam and Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam. So each one of these is referred to as a devotee. We know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came as a devotee. He's Krishna himself, but he's coming to show us what it means to be a devotee, how to be a devotee of Krishna. So each one of these Panchatattva, they're also devotees. So we have an expansion who's worshipping Krishna, just as Mahavishnu, when Krishna went with Arjuna to see Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu is offering his respects to Krishna. So the expansion, Tattva, is worshipping Krishna. And the avatars, they worship Krishna. Actually, Lord Chaitanya is not the only avatar who worships Krishna. We see it in others also. So they're all bhakta. So he's bhakta avatar. He represents the avatars who worship Krishna. And then we have the Shakti Tattva. The Shakti here means especially Antaranga Shakti, or the internal potency of Krishna, which is Krishna and his direct expansions, the eternal residence of the spiritual world itself. So that's represented by Gadadhar. That especially begins with Radharani and the gopis and so on. Especially all the intimate associates, Krishna's eternal associates. This is Shakti Tattva. And finally, Srivas. Or Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So Srivas represents Jiva Tattva, especially as devotees. He represents the devotees. So it's a little curious that Advaita Acharya represents the Avatar Tattva, because his original form is not an avatar, but it's one of the expansions. As mentioned in the verse, we heard he's Mahavishnu. Sometimes you may hear that he's Sadashiva. In fact, Prabhupada mentions this in one purport. And in there's a book called Sri Advaita Prakash. It's written by Ishan Nagar. Ishan Nagar's mother was a maidservant of Advaita Acharya. So he grew up in the household of Advaita Acharya, this Ishan Nagar. And he's written this book, Sri Advaita Prakash. So in that book, he says that the authorities say that Advaita Acharya is a combined form of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. So who is Sadashiva? Sadashiva is actually an expansion, direct expansion of Mahavishnu, and he's Vishnu Tattva. We know from the Brahma Samhita that Lord Shiva is practically Vishnu. Vishnu never consorts or never comes in contact with the material energy. When Vishnu comes in contact with the material energy, then he's Shiva. So he's slightly touched by the material energy. So the original form of Lord Shiva in the spiritual world, as Prabhupada says, he has his own Vaikuntha planet in the spiritual world, Sadashiva. So that form expands as Shiva in the material world, or Shiva, that Sadashiva in touch with the material energy. There's actually three forms of Shiva, because there's a Shiva who exists kind of on the border between the material and spiritual world. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you hear how as the devotees go up through the universe and outside the universe, then they go through the realm of Lord Shiva, which is sort of marginal, in between. So this is the original Sadashiva, or Mahavishnu, you can say, because he's a direct expansion of Mahavishnu. That's Advaita Acharya. So he's Mahavishnu himself, and he appeared. In the Sri Advaita Prakash, it says that he was 56 years old when Lord Chaitanya descended. So as Krishna often does when he exhibits his pastimes, he sends some devotees to before him, because he has to have older relatives, naturally, when he goes into his leela. So some of his devotees have to go before him. So before Lord Chaitanya's descent, he sent Advaita Acharya. Now Advaita Acharya, he was the leader of all the Vaishnavas in Nadia, in that region. Very respected Brahmana. And his whole history actually is given in that Sri Advaita Prakash. Talks about his father. His father was a Raj Pandit, if I remember correctly. In other words, he was a priest to the king, to a king, one of the kings of the region. And Advaita Acharya was very respected, and he was the leader of the Vaishnavas. And even before the descent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Vaishnavas would gather at the house of Advaita Acharya, and they would read Srimad Bhagavatam and discuss Krishna Katha. And Sachimata's son, older son, Vishwaroop, he used to go there. From the beginning of his life, Vishwaroop, who's also an expansion of Balaram, you can say he's identical to Nityananda, he would go there and associate with these slightly older, many of them older than him, and he would hear Krishna Katha from Advaita Acharya and associate with the different Vaishnavas. So Vishwaroop, and sometimes Mother Sachi would send Nimai to go get his older brother, who was hanging out with the Vaishnavas there at Advaita's house. So when he would come into the assembly, all the devotees would be overwhelmed. And Advaita Acharya, he started to get some inclination. Why am I so attracted to this young boy? I wonder if he's my Lord. One of the main characteristics of Advaita Acharya, as I said when I was explaining the Panchatattva, they're all bhakta. So Advaita Acharya, he's Mahavishnu, but he always feels himself in the position of subordination. So this comes out often in the Leelas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Acharya, how Advaita Acharya wants to worship Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya sees him as his higher than him, as his guru, on the level of his guru. Because Advaita Acharya was initiated by Madhavendra Puri. And his godbrother, Advaita Acharya's godbrother, was Ishwar Puri, who's Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. So Advaita Acharya is on the level of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. He's the godbrother of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, Ishwar Puri. So for this reason, and also because he was older, respected Brahmana, Lord Chaitanya always wanted to respect him as like his spiritual master. So in any case, Advaita Acharya would hold these meetings at his house, and Vishwaroop would attend. And when Vishwaroop took sannyas at a young age, Mother Sachi was not very happy about this. And she thought, I think this is Advaita Acharya's doing. I wanted my son to stay home, but this Advaita Acharya, he got these ideas in his mind, my son Vishwaroop's mind, and now he's left home. She was just thinking that way. So this, her thinking like this, led to a leela that unfolded later when Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting his famous Mahaprakash for, I forget what it was, 72 hours or something like that, 2 or 3 days. He was in the ecstasy of his, really he was revealing himself to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was showing different avatars, and everyone was coming forward. Whoever was coming forward, he was blessing them with love of God. He was naming different people and glorifying them, saying, you will have Krishna Prema. And then the devotees, Mother Sachi wasn't there, and the devotees asked, so what about Mother Sachi? And Lord Chaitanya said, I can't give Mother Sachi Krishna Prema. So all the devotees were, what? Mother Sachi? She's the mother of the universe. She's Devaki. She's Yashoda. She's your mother. How can you not give her Krishna Prema? And Lord Chaitanya said, I can't, because she's committed an aparadh. She has offended Advaita Acharya. And he said, and I can't forgive her for the offense. Because the devotee said, well, just forgive her. And he said, I can't forgive her. She has to get the forgiveness of Advaita Acharya. So devotees, they went to Advaita Acharya and told him. And he said, what? And because Lord Chaitanya said she has to get the dust of the feet of Advaita Acharya. And he said, forget it. I'm not going to give Mother Sachi my dust. How can I do that? I'll die. My head will crack. What are you trying to do? Break my head open? That's what he said. What are you trying to do? Smash my head? Suggesting that Mother Sachi has to come and touch my feet. So he started glorifying Mother Sachi and he went into ecstasy. And when he was in ecstasy, the Doris went and got Mother Sachi and she went in there and she took the dust from his feet while he was in ecstasy. So then they told him about it and he gave her Krishna Prema. Of course, she already had Krishna Prema, but as part of the Leela. So of course, the relationship between Mother Sachi and Lord Chaitanya was very sweet, very intimate. We know how when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, it was just Vishwarup left her first, and then Vishwambar, Nimai, leaves her. So she's so heartbroken in the separation, transcendental separation. So Lord Chaitanya goes and takes sannyas. And then after he takes sannyas, he just becomes ecstatic. Just completely loses it. And he's wandering around in Radhadesh, part of Bengal where the Ganges doesn't flow. And he says, I want to go to Vrindavan. As soon as he took sannyas, he said, I want to go to Vrindavan. I have to go to Vrindavan. Krishna's in Vrindavan. I have to go to Vrindavan. So he's wandering around here and there and seeing the cowherd boys. And Lord Nityananda was traveling with him. Lord Nityananda, Chandrasekhar, and a few others, I think. So Lord Chaitanya was asking, where is Vrindavan? Where is Vrindavan? So Nityananda told the cowherd boys, if he asks you where Vrindavan is, you point him in that way, which was the wrong way. It was back towards Shantipur. So following the direction of the cowherd boys, he ended up at the bank of the Ganges. So when he got to the Ganges, then he asked Lord Nityananda, where is Vrindavan? He said, here it is, right here. There's the Yamuna River. So he jumped in the Yamuna. He was in ecstasy. And then when he came out, he was wet. And the devotee, Lord Nityananda, had sent Chandrasekhar ahead. He said, go get Advaita. So he went to get Advaita Acharya. And when Lord Chaitanya got out of the water, there was Advaita waiting to meet him. And he said, what are you doing here? How did you get to Vrindavan so fast? And then Advaita Acharya explained the situation to him. Lord Chaitanya was a little upset. Then Advaita said, don't worry. He said, actually, this is the Yamuna. Because at Prayag, the Yamuna and the Ganges, they come together. And you happen to be on the Yamuna side where you jumped into the water. So you're actually... And he said, besides, wherever you are, that's Vrindavan. So after that, Lord Advaita Acharya brought him to his house to have one last meeting with Sachi Mata and the other devotees. Of course, not only Sachi Mata, but all the devotees in Navadvip, they were in great lamentation because they had been part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, all his pastimes as a youth there. They were so attracted to him, seeing these pastimes. And now he was leaving them. He was taking sannyas and traveling because that's what sannyasis did. He wasn't going to stay home anymore. So Advaita Acharya gathered all the devotees and Mother Sachi. And Mother Sachi, of course, this is a very intense pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the meeting of Sachi and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally leaving. And it was there that the arrangement was made that Lord Chaitanya would stay at Jagannath Puri. That was the suggestion, because the devotees from Bengal would always travel to Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, to see the Rath Yatra festival. Generally, they would go see the Rath Yatra festival. So if Lord Chaitanya was living there, then at least Mother Sachi could hear about how he was doing. So that arrangement was made, and she cooked every day for a few days while Lord Chaitanya stayed there at Advaita Acharya's house in Shantipur. Of course, many pastimes took place. Devotees would have kirtan there regularly, even after Lord Chaitanya's passing. And because he was the leader of the Vaishnavas there, whenever devotees would travel, like coming from Jagannath Puri or some other place, they would go see Advaita Acharya because he was such a respected elderly Vaishnava in that area of Nadia Gram. So also significant about Advaita Acharya and his Leela was his association with Haridas Thakur. Of course, Haridas Thakur was a Muslim by birth, and Advaita Acharya was staunch Brahmana, respectable Brahmana, but he saw the greatness of Namacharya Haridas Thakur. He gave him a place to live, gave him a cave to live in, and they associated regularly. Different pastimes with Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur took place at Advaita Acharya's house. We know the famous one where after the Shraddha ceremony was performed, then the tradition is that you give the Shraddha Patra, or the prasadam, Maha Prasadam, you give it to the most respectable Brahmana, the chief Brahmana. So by rights, that probably would have been Advaita Acharya. But Advaita Acharya, he gave it to Haridas Thakur. You can just imagine how shocking that was in that society. Those people were very caste conscious. As we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see. Between, of course, the Hindus and Muslims, they tried to stay away from each other as much as possible. But even among the Vaishnavas, or not Vaishnavas, but in the Hindu society, there's a lot of caste consciousness. We hear about the Smarta Brahmanas. So that Advaita Acharya did this. This Mahaprasadam, he's supposed to give it. So who's he going to give it to? Who's the most respected? So he gives it to Haridas Thakur, a person Muslim by birth. So this was his. He was showing, this is of course is a part of the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, that he didn't discriminate. We often hear this, who was a candidate and who was not, who was a suitable candidate for love of God and Krishna's, chanting Krishna's name. So this is important because in that society, there was a lot about, you know, your birth, how you're born, how you're treated, what you're able to do, what your rights are, what your qualifications are, what you're able to do. Even in Hindu rituals, what you're able to do according to your birth. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a rebel. He went against these artificial restrictions. Everyone is eligible to become a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that, of course, caused a lot of controversy. We know that some of the trouble Lord Chaitanya got into was because the caste Brahmanas didn't like what he was doing. And when he went to Varanasi, the Prakashananda Sarasvati and his followers didn't like what he was doing also. Associating with ordinary people, the riffraff, as they saw it. But Lord Chaitanya was there for the people, giving everyone pure love of God. And Advaita Acharya had the same mood as he showed in his dealings with Haridas Thakur. So there's one pastime when Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri. There was a disciple of, actually there's one other, the pastime that took place in Navadvipa, of course, was, as I was saying before, Advaita Acharya, he always wanted to be in a subordinate position to Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya was always respecting him. So he wanted to get some mercy, he wanted to be chastised. Like Prabhupada says, how even Krishna has this mood. He wants to be the subordinate. Prabhupada used to tell that story of this, was he prime minister, I think, Gladstone in England? Some big shot was waiting outside his door to have a meeting with this Gladstone. Waiting and waiting and waiting to meet him. Finally, he gets to go in and he sees that this Gladstone prime minister, or whatever he was, he's playing horsey for his grandson. His grandson's riding around on his back. You know? So he's a big, big man, but he's playing, his grandson is riding on his back around his office. So because he wants to have that kind of a relationship. So similarly, Krishna and his expansions, they want to be treated this way sometimes. So Advaita Acharya, of course, he feels himself as the servant anyway. He's the servant of Krishna. So he wanted to be treated like that. But Lord Chaitanya was following the etiquette of not doing that. So what did Advaita Acharya do? He started preaching Mayavad philosophy. Because he knew anything would get Lord Chaitanya angry, that would. So he did, actually. He went there. He went to where Advaita Acharya was giving class, because he had a school Vaitacharya was a Brahmana. He had a school before Lord Chaitanya even appeared. He had a school, so his students were there listening to him, and he's preaching Mayavad philosophy. Lord Chaitanya came so angry he pushed him off his asana. So of course, what did Vaitacharya do? He was in ecstasy. Finally, I'm getting a little mercy. You're giving everybody else mercy, and I never get any mercy. Now you recognize I'm your servant. Of course, the Vaitacharya also offered him arti at least one time, maybe more times. So in a similar the mood of this, there was a disciple of Vaitacharya named Kamalakanta Vishvas. And he went to Puri and he heard that Vaitacharya had some debts in Puri. And I don't know, maybe when he was visiting there to see Lord Chaitanya, he had accrued some debts, didn't pay rent on some buildings or something, on some rooms. But anyway, he had some debt. So Kamalakanta Vishvas, he went to the king and he said, I want to pay the debts of Vaitacharya. Vaitacharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I want to pay his debts. So Lord Chaitanya heard about this and he was very upset. He said, who is this person? What's wrong with him? He calls him the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he calls him a debtor at the same time? What is this? How can he be in debt? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he said, from now on, I don't want to see this Kamalakanta Vishvasa. I never want to see him again. So Vaitacharya heard about this from his disciple. He said, oh, you're getting so much mercy. How come I never get mercy like this? So then he got back to Lord Chaitanya. This person was sorry, and Vaitacharya's reaction, and somehow Lord Chaitanya forgave him, and he got the association of Lord Chaitanya. At first, Vaitacharya, he said to Lord Chaitanya, you're giving him so much mercy. First, you banish him from your association. That's really heavy mercy. I never got such good mercy as that. And then you invite him back into your association. You give him double mercy. So why are you always giving others? Why don't you give me that kind of mercy? So this was his mood. He wanted Lord Chaitanya to chastise him in different ways. So of course, we also have in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are two or three places where we have Vaitacharya and Nityananda bantering and going at each other. These are quite humorous, joyful pastimes. Because Nityananda, he was the avadut. If Lord Chaitanya was against ordinary rules and regulations, certainly Nityananda was. Especially if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, you see all kinds of amazing things that Lord Nityananda would do. Shocking things, you would think. Wow, if anyone saw this, they would think, what is this person? That's why there's a verse that says, even if you see Nityananda going into a liquor stop, you should still not forget that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he did all kinds of extraordinary things. And so in there, they would be taking prasadam together, and Nityananda would criticize Vaitacharya for being just a smarta brahmana, attached to rules and regulations and the smriti, and just a jnani. And Nityananda and Vaitacharya would say, who am I taking prasadam with here? I'm going to lose my caste if I take prasadam with this crazy person, this avadut, runs around naked, says whatever he wants to say. So they would go back and forth like this. And then during one of these sessions, Lord Nityananda, he was angry or in ecstasy, and he threw some rice. I can't eat this. Of course, he used to complain. Lord Nityananda would complain. He'd bring him prasadam bowls, and huge, huge bowls of prasadam. He would say, when's anybody going to feed me? I'm hungry. I've been fasting for 3 days. Give me something to eat. So he became angry and he threw some rice and it hit Vaitacharya, and Vaitacharya started dancing in ecstasy. So he had just been criticizing Nityananda, but of course he just wanted to receive the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So Vaitacharya, he plays into the opening of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes because, of course, he drew him there. Several places when you read in Chaitanya's Leela in different places, Lord Chaitanya acknowledges this. Sometimes he would criticize Advaita. He said, you call me here, but then you're acting in this way or that way. So he said, this is what you said. This is not what you came here. It's not coming. It's not one more. It's not coming. So he said, and he wrote this one answer. But he's so fallen in this age, and I can't do it. I need Krishna himself to come.
Vaita says, rise and hold hand in the marketplace. So this says, everybody else will become.
He said this. So when Lord Chaitanya received that message, which is all the devotees, they said, what is this? They didn't understand what it meant. So Lord Chaitanya said, oh, this is the character of this Buddha.
He invites you to please don't go the way.
So for the same as people your times. So in that picture he received this method which I think sense. So this is the significant role that Advaita Acharya plays in the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Advaita Acharya ki jai. So should we stop now because it's a fast day we can take. Anybody has any questions or like to add something? And we'll go to the Abhishek. Pushkar? 21 hours, Mahaprakash. Okay. Ganganarayan? Advaita Acharya lived 125 years?
Yeah.
Wow. No wonder he's always showed with white hair and a beard. Yeah. Ramya?
I was wondering if you could explain the difference between Lord Chaitanya's kind of openly breaking the rules and distributing Krishna consciousness to all the different castes and how Mahatma Gandhi tried to treat the Mahajans.
How?
Mahatma Gandhi was treating Mahajans. What is the difference?
Mahatma Gandhi. Well, Mahatma Gandhi was, what did they say, a sage among the politicians or a politician among sages, either way. So he was kind of mixed. It's not like he was a pure bhakta. So he did have his, he wanted to unify India. It was more of a political thing. He called the fallen caste the Harijans, which Prabhupada criticized, actually. He said, you can't be a Harijan unless you're actually a devotee of Krishna. You don't just rubber stamp somebody a Harijan. So Prabhupada differed with him according to his methods and according to his motivation also. What was his motivation? It was more about political unity than anything else. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about spiritual unity. He saw everyone as a spiritual being, eternal servant of Krishna. One of the most important lines in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jivera Swarup Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. There's so much in this one line. The Swarup of the Jiva is Krishna Das. That's who we all are. So that's how Lord Chaitanya saw. So he didn't want to be impeded in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, spreading the chanting of the holy names. He didn't want that impediment that, no, you can't associate with these people, they're dirty. And just of course Srila Prabhupada had that same mood. The tradition was, you can't even see these mlechas. You do, you have to go take a bath in the Ganges. You see untouchable people. You have to become purified, perform some ritual. So what to speak of coming to the Mlecha Desh, the Western world. So Prabhupada said, no, I have to go on the order of my spiritual master to give the holy name of Krishna. So that's the basis of the universal vision of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is certainly different from that of an ordinary politician. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.